Welcome to Bethel this morning. What are we going to turn in our Bibles to? I think you ought to turn to Isaiah 40. You got your Bible there in Isaiah chapter 40. Say amen. We're going to start here, and I've got several places I'm going to go this morning. I'm going to let me turn this thing on here. I'm going to preach a message this morning. We're going to start out in Isaiah 40, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3. And just because I put the verses on the screen, that don't mean you can't turn to them in your Bible. It's always good to have your Bible open. Can I hear you say amen? And but anyway, that's going to help us a little bit and help us to stay on course in the preaching this morning. I got a message, been on my heart all week. And I'm kind of like Jared, you know, the old devil just tried to talk me out of it. And everything else in the world didn't seem like he wanted it preached, but I believe God does. This is the message. In fact, I don't even have to ask God whether I can preach this message or not, because this is the message of the church. And I want you to get that as we move on this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, this is a prophecy concerning what's going to happen in the last days, concerning what's going to happen in the time of Jesus and what's going to happen in the last days. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? David said, Lord, return how long? And the big question on everybody's mind is, when is the Lord going to return? Or let me just put it this way, and I've preached it this way before, and I want you to think about this, because this is the single most important thing that you'll ever have in your mind, is that when is the Lord going to call my name? When is it going to be my time to go stand before God? You are not given the promise of one more hour on this earth and one more hour of breath. And you need to realize that it could very well be you could expire in this life before this message is over. And so I want you to be thinking about that. That is the message of the church. Everybody's trying to make the message of the church into everything that it's not supposed to be. And here's what the message of the church is. Isaiah chapter 40, comfort ye, comfort ye. Now I like that, because the word comfort is a Holy Ghost term. Would you like to have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? Would you like to be led in your decision making by the power of the Holy Ghost? Would you like the Holy Ghost to guide you and to comfort you when things are rough and when things are bad? Would you like the Holy Ghost to give you that sweet assurance that if you laid your head down on your pillow tonight, that you would go to heaven if you died? Would you like that in your life? And there's only one way that you're going to get that this morning. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sin. I'm going to ask you another question this morning. Would you like to receive, you just stop and think now of all the sins that you have committed in your life so far. That's a long list. It is a very long list of iniquities and sins that we have committed against our God. It's a long list. And the list is not done being written. And I want you to think about that. But would you like for God, instead of giving you what you deserve for your sin, would you like for God to give you a double blessing on top of your sin? So he said in verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now turning the Bible to Matthew chapter 3. I've got it up on the screen, but I would like for you to turn there. Matthew chapter 3, there might be a verse or two there that might be good for you to read. On top of that, Matthew chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, what was the first word out of his mouth? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now I'm going to preach a message this morning on biblical repentance. Biblical repentance. I want you to pray for me while I preach this morning. Heavenly Father, I have nothing, Lord, in my hand to bring you, Lord. I have no gifts. I have no special, unique talents. Lord God, I cannot preach this message, but by your grace and by your power. And Father, Lord, I believe, Father, that your Spirit wants to work. But I believe also, dear God, in a hindering spirit, Father Lord, that is here in this place and here in this building. Father, it's probably just working on me, but it might be working on somebody else as well. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for this church. I pray, dear God, for the needs of this church and the people of this church, dear God. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd meet our needs. You'd help us, dear God. But Father, Lord, there's no doubt about it. Lord, Father, we're very sinful people. We're full of pride. We're full of sin, dear God. Father, Lord, there's no good thing in us. We probably have violated your laws just about every day this week. We've gone against what you've said. And Father, Lord, there's no way, dear God, that you have any right, dear God, to bless us other than for your mercy's sake and your name's sake. But Father, Lord, we ask, dear God, Lord, that you'd lay it upon our hearts, dear God, to be mindful, Lord, of just how rotten we really are. And Father, Lord, I'd like to be able to encourage these people this morning to keep on going and keep on living for the Lord. But Father, Lord, there's something that has to be in our hearts, dear God, and I believe, Lord, you want to preach that. Father, you may just want to preach it to me. But Lord, Father, you want it preached to the hearts and lives of these people this morning. And Father, Lord, we need to know about repentance. We need to know what it is, and we need to know, dear God, that it's all important and all crucial in our lives. And so, Father, Lord, I just really need your help, Lord, preaching this message. And these people, dear God, require your help and assistance, Lord, in making application in their life. Father, I cannot preach repentance to these people and make them repent just because I said so. Lord, it has to be in their lives, and I pray, dear God, that you'd bring it about to them, Lord. Now, Father, we ask your blessings, we ask your help, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. I'm going to preach a message on repentance this morning. And I'm going to go several places in the Word of God this morning. We're just going to look at how the Word's applied. We're going to let the Bible define the word repent. But I want to ask you a question this morning. If you were to define the word repentance, how would you define that? What does the word repent mean as far as your understanding is concerned? And I'm not here to slick you over with some new thing this morning, so you might just probably be dead on with what I'm going to show you from the Word of God. What does the word repent mean? Yes, sister. Making about face. I'm going to show you that exact thing from the Word of God this morning. Somebody else got a good definition of repent. Yes, ma'am. Asking forgiveness of what you've done. And let me just stop right here and deal with that one. Does everybody agree with that so far? Say amen. Make an about face and ask forgiveness for what you've done. When we ask forgiveness, now I'm going to speak on two levels this morning. Number one, repentance before Almighty God. And number two, repentance to others. Because we would like to think that we've never done anybody any harm or any wrong. The truth of it is we have. The truth of it is we are very abusive people. We abuse things. People abuse substances all the time. We abuse others. And I could just preach on the whole guy. I could just preach and preach and preach and preach and just name every sin that's recorded in the Bible and just lay it down to you. But y'all know what sin is, don't you? Sin is a transgression of the law, and it is an offense. When we sin against God, it is an offense against God. I'm going to show you that from this verse right up here on the screen. I'm going to show you that it is an offense to God when we sin. But I will also tell you that we are perfectly capable, and not only capable, but we're good at it, of offending other people through our actions or inactions, or a lot of times stuff just flies out of us, out of our mouth, that is offensive and abusive, and it was meant to be that way. Now, I know that there are times in life when we say things that we didn't really know that we were going to hurt somebody or harm somebody. There are innocence in things that we say, and yet we say something, and that person gets offended, and, you know, that always causes trouble. And sometimes, you know, a guy like me, as much as I talk throughout the week, I'm invariably going to say something that's going to offend somebody, and I really didn't mean anything behind it, but I am going to say something that's going to offend somebody. But I will also tell you that as much as I talk throughout the week, whether it's here in this pulpit or teaching Sunday school or teaching Wednesday night, or I'm up, you know, doing some Bible study on the internet or something like that, I'm invariably going to say something to somebody that's going to make them mad and it's going to offend them. Sometimes I don't mean to do it, but did you know the honest truth is sometimes I meant it? And if I could admit that here, then I think it would be okay for us to admit that we are abusive in things that we say and we meant to hurt somebody. Can I hear you say amen to that? We're good at it. We're really good at it. And so I want you to think about repentance this morning and what it means. And I like what Sister Betty said, and I like what Rose said so far, is that it means that you're asking forgiveness for something that you've done wrong. And in order to ask forgiveness, I want you to listen to this now, because the attitude that we have with people is going to be the same attitude that we will have toward God. In order to ask forgiveness of something that we've done wrong, it first takes an admittance on our part that we were wrong. And listen, this is not my first day on the job here at Bethel Church. I've been here a long time. And I know us. And I know that one of the hardest things for us to do is to ever admit that we were wrong. We're good at offending. We're not good at apologizing. We stink at it. And here again, I just want to tell you, how we treat other people is a reflection on how we treat God. It is. And I want to say to you publicly, I'm not one of these that thinks that just because I stand behind the pulpit, all of a sudden this sovereign grace comes over me and I speak as the mouth of God and everything that comes out of me is from the voice of God and you have no right to be offended. I don't think that for a minute. There's been times when I wanted to say things while I was preaching that God said, stop. There's been things I've written I remember one time preaching a message and I had something circled in my notes with big arrows pointing to it that I wanted to make sure that I injected into the sermon. And I preached that whole message and never said it. And looked at it 3 or 4 times in the message and never said it. And I thought, man, that'll really kick it in gear when I say that. And God said, you're not saying that because I know what spirit's behind it. That's happened before. There's been times when I've said things that probably have offended my wife or offended my children or offended a visitor or offended a church member. I'm just telling you that I realize that I'm good at it and I think we ought to realize that we're good at it. We hurt the people around us. And when we sin, and when we do things that are wrong, it grieves somebody else's heart. You need to get a hold of that. Because it may not bother you that you pulled out in front of somebody up on the highway, somebody that cut you off and you decided you're going to play that game and you got in front of them and cut them off and slowed down on a 2-lane highway just to make them mad. And don't say you've never done it. And don't say you haven't wanted to do it either. And it may not bother you that you offended them. It may not because you don't know them. But I will tell you that the people that you know, the people that you say you love, when we hurt them, it ought to hurt us. It really ought to. It ought to bother us that we've hurt somebody. It really ought to. But we cop an attitude, well, they shouldn't have got offended or they shouldn't have did this. We always put the blame everywhere else but except for where it needs to be. And so far, I like what I've heard about what repentance is, because in order to ask forgiveness, there must be an admittance between us and whoever it is, or between us and God, that we were in fact wrong. And I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you want all of your sins forgiven? Say amen. You want every one of your sins forgiven? Say amen. Because you cannot go to, listen, you will not stand in the presence of God for all of eternity with sin. God's a holy God. He will not allow you into heaven with sin in your life. And I will tell you, the only way to have your sins forgiven is for you to admit that you were wrong. It's the only way. So you know what happens? You know what happens every Sunday? In fact, I'm just going to come down here. Matthew, make sure you keep up with me. I'm just going to come down here and let's talk for a minute. Okay? How many people do you think sitting in church houses all across this country this morning that are going there, they like to put on the airs of Christianity, they like to make everybody think that they're all decent, normal, upstanding, righteous people, and this and that and the other, and some preacher will say something that just crawls up and down their skin that's from the Bible, and they'll say, well, that's your opinion. And they'll walk out of that church in rebellion and think that they're wrong and that they're right and the preacher's wrong and the preacher's trying to preach the Word of God. And they'll walk out of there in rebellion and act like that, well, it's just their, that's just their interpretation of the Bible. What I'm doing is okay. How many people think that there's people like that in this country? Say amen. God forbid that that spirit would ever enter into the doors of Bethel Church. God forbid that. Because you know what? I've got a love and a concern for this church. I've got a love and concern for my wife and for my family. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit interested in my hide and where I end up in eternity. I'm just a little bit interested in where I spend eternity. And I want to tell you something. I know my flesh, and I know what I'm capable of, and I know everything there is to know about me, and I'm telling you that I am fully capable of transgressing the law of God. And if I ever cop an attitude with God in saying, well, I don't think this all that bad, or I don't think that that's wrong, or I don't... You can't have your sins forgiven without a confession and an admittance that you were wrong. Okay, now, I ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to nod your head or anything like that. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Has someone ever offended you? Has someone ever done anything wrong to you and offended you? Okay, especially someone that you thought was a friend or someone that you loved or maybe as a husband or a wife or even your children. Children, you can offend your parents. Young people, listen to me now. Children, you can offend your parents. You offend your parents when they put their love in you and they give you things and then you just... I mean, all the ways that you act. Parents, you can also offend your children as well. Okay? That's a tough one there. When the parents have to admit to their children they were wrong, that's rough. Okay? But I want you to think about how you felt when someone sinned against you or someone said something about you or someone offended you in their mouth or their action or their deeds or their inactions. I want you to think of how you felt because this was interesting to me. The first place in the Bible where the word repent was used was not indicative of man's repentance to God. It was God's repentance that he had ever made man to begin with. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I searched through the scriptures and overwhelmingly in the Old Testament, the word repent is almost, not totally, but almost exclusively used in the case where God said that he would repent of what he thought to do with you because of your sin. Over and over and over in the Old Testament, God was saying, if you will come to me and you will worship me and you'll confess your sins, then I will repent of the evil that I thought against you. Look at this verse up here, Genesis chapter 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it what? It grieved him in his heart. Grief is a love word. It is associated with love. You don't, listen, that guy that you cut off on the highway, you're not grieving over that unless the Holy Ghost just brings it down and says, you know what, you don't even know that guy, but I'm going to tell that guy you're a church member. You believe God will do that? I do. I believe God will do that. Okay? So anyway, you may not grieve over somebody that you didn't even know that you offended, but I guarantee you somebody that you love, you grieve in your heart. It grieves you when you see things going on. It grieves you over the people you love. And God had made man on the earth, and God, even in his foreknowledge, knowing that man was going to sin, it still grieved him in his heart. And I want to tell you something. You and I are perfectly capable of grieving God. Paul said, grieve not, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't do that. And how do we do it? With sin. Sin is what grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And if you are a Christian, you are truly a born-again Christian, then what's going to happen in you is that when the Holy Spirit grieves, you're going to know it. Because your spirit and the Holy Spirit are at communion with one another. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, you're going to know about it. Now, how many of y'all have felt that before? Say amen. That's a good thing for you. Because, listen, this is not just some words that God put in there to make you feel bad. The truth of it is, God has feelings too. Even God, in his perfect foreknowledge of everything that was going to happen, God knew that man was going to sin and disobey him, and yet it still grieved him to see the condition that man had gotten himself into, because God loves his creation. So I wanted to set that as a tone. Our sins, listen to me, our sins are always causing someone grief. They're always going to cause somebody to grieve. Okay? So you think about that. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And that word repent has everything to do, let me get to, I got a verse here that had it defined. The word repent has everything to do, I can't find it right, has everything to do with regret. Huh? Was that the beginning? Has everything to do with regret. There it is, regret, or to be sorry. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, now, I want you to think about this for a minute, because I'm going to get there in a minute. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 3, he said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. The very first message that was preached in the New Testament age was not a message of, oh, I love you, oh, I want a relationship with you, oh, I'm going to make you wealthy and healthy and give you all this stuff. The very first message that God wanted preached was the sign that his kingdom was coming on the earth, was the message of repentance. And I'm going to tell you something. You can probably go to 50 churches in this town, and out of 48 of them, you will not hear a message on repentance in a year's time. You will not hear preachers telling you that you need to be sorry for your sins, that you have violated the law of God, that you've hurt other people with your actions and your inactions and your words, that you are a sore on the body of Christ, and that you need to repent. You need to say that what you did was wrong. And you need to, and by the way, that phrase up there, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. How many of you ever had your kids do this? When you say, tell them you're sorry, they go, sorry. Right, Linda? And you go, I'm not buying it. They're selling it, but I'm not buying it. Because we know they're not. And so does God. And by the way, most of the people that you know that you say, I'm so sorry. They know you're lying through your teeth. You know why? Because you have no intention of turning the other direction. You know what you're doing sometimes? You're just trying to get God and everybody else off your back. Boy, we're rotten, ain't we? See, you're nodding your head because you know this. You know why you know this? Because you've done it. And you know how I can preach it? I've done it. We're bad. We're not, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And the message that this church needs, and the message that every church in the world needs, the message that needs to go out to America is repent. And why? Because everybody here knows that there's going to come a time come when God's going to cut it off. They tried, do you think they were beating on the side of the ark saying, we're sorry, we're sorry? Do you think they were doing that? I guarantee you they were. Esau sought a place for repentance with bitter tears, but found it not, the Bible says. He searched and searched for an opportunity to repent to God for being stupid and selling his birthright for a bowl of soup, and God would not allow him to repent. And I want to tell you something, that day's coming when you are given the opportunity right now to repent of your sins. Why do you think when we were praying a while ago that I led you in prayer, God, if there's someone here that has sin in their life, let them confess it and repent it right now. Why do you think? Because I knew what I was going to preach. I was giving you an opportunity 30 minutes ago to repent. So that by the time the sermon come around, you could be good. Amen! Amen! I repented of my sin. See, you'd be ready. I gave you a chance. And God's given us a chance right now. God's given us a chance in this church. And before I preach to America, I'm going to preach to this church. God has given us an opportunity in this church to repent. Number one, of the things that we have offended in God. And number two, the people that we have offended. God has given us an opportunity to repent today. God has given the country, the United States of America, opportunity to repent right now. God, and the time for America to repent and turn from her ways is right now. But you know what? I don't see it happening. I don't see Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi and that crowd in Washington, D.C. going, you know, we're sorry for being liberals. I don't see it happening. I don't see the sodomites apologizing for being sodomites. I don't see those who are shacking up apologizing for shacking up. I don't see those who are caught in alcohol and drugs saying sorry for their... And you know, by the way, they call them penitentiaries where they take people that have committed crimes. The word penitent is where the word repent comes from. It means to make sorry. And by and large, our penitentiary system does not make anybody sorry for what they've done. Most of the people that they let loose back on the street are back in prison in a year's time. It's not working. You know why? There is a spirit of unrepentance in our country, and there is a spirit of unrepentance in our churches. And there might just be a spirit of unrepentance in this church too. Might be just why I'm preaching this message. Because God laid it on my heart. And I'm telling you that if we don't repent, and if we don't, and you know how we are. Sometimes we think we know we need to say we're sorry. We know, but we're not feeling it. I know I need to be sorry, but I'm not. So you know what my mama would do? My mama would take my belt off, lay me down across my bed, and whoop the fire out of me. And when she was done, boy, was I sorry. And you think, oh, that's mean, that's cruel. That Parent magazine said that doesn't really change children. Well, let me tell you what this Parent magazine said, this old King James Bible. Amen. Okay? Listen, I love you, and I love America, and I know what's wrong in this country is that there is a spirit of unrepentance. Nobody ever wants to say they're wrong. Let's talk about it in a church setting for a minute. We offend people in church all the time. I'll just have to get over it. That's how we do. That's how we are. We offend in our marriage all the time. Who says they're sorry between a husband and wife in the fight? Who does? You know what happens most of the time? We just wait till everybody's over it and the dust is settled and just kind of go on. But you know how things are really in life? Offenses tend to pile up. You know what true repentance does? Tears all the offenses back down. And you stop and you think about your relationship with God. How many times have you committed the same sin against God? How many times? Yeah. It's repetitive. Over and over and over and over again. I mean, but you know what? God, to a repentant sinner, never puts a limit. Now, after a while, he's going to say, now, we need to take care of something. We need to deal with something. And God will begin to deal with us. But it's because he knows we have a repentant nature and a repentant attitude about us. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to fly anywhere as a church. We're not going to fly anywhere or go anywhere as Christians. God's going to hold blessings back until we repent. He will chasten us and he will work on us until he's got our attention. And then when he's got our attention, we repent and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. And then all of a sudden, now God's starting to bless us again. How many of you know that's how it works? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what? To repentance. Did you know that those two words, to repentance, are missing out of the NIV? You read that verse again without adding the words to repentance at the end of that. It makes it look like that God, and this is the spirit that is in most churches nowadays, is that you can still be a sodomite, you can still shack up, you can be a drunk, you can be a drug abuser, you can be a liar, you can be everything else in the world, and the churches won't preach against it because you can still be all kinds of sinner and still go to heaven. And I'm telling you, that's not the message of the real Bible. The message of the real Bible says he's come to call sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician. And so if you're sitting there going, well, I tell you what, you're right, Brother Mike, this church does need to repent. If that's you, then you need to leave the hospital. Visiting hours are over. Because the people that need to be here are the sick ones that need the physician to heal them of the sinfulness of their life. Can I hear God's people say amen? And you know what? I love you enough to preach like this. I love you enough to tell you, because preaching like this does not earn pastor salary raises in most churches. That's not why I'm preaching. It doesn't get them very far in the denomination or at the meetings. It doesn't go very well at all. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. And if you were sitting, listen to me. In fact, let me just, I don't know, maybe I'll preach part two next week. If you were serious enough about having a repentant heart in your life, then probably it would be a good idea for you to stop and take some time and ask God, God, show me where I'm disobedient. Yeah. Now, I've been in deals with people. My wife and I, we've had little conversations, okay, where I thought I was right. I thought I was right. Amen? Okay? And there's been times when she was able to show me wherein I was wrong. Okay? And I had to, and it took a realization of me that there might have been something I was doing or just something that wasn't right. Okay? I'll give you an example. This will go back 20, we'll be married 23 years this year. This will go back about 22 years. Okay? We're just kids. Having fun. Being married. Okay? I decided, since I was a man of the house, that I ought to be able to write some checks too. I don't know if she remembers this or not, but I caught her gone one night and I needed some tools for work, so I went through the drawer and found some checks that she hadn't got to yet. I just took them to Walmart, just buying tools. Okay? I'm the man. That's what I thought till I got home. We had a discussion that night. And I will tell you that I have never, ever, ever, ever done that since. Okay? Never done it. By the way, can I just share this with you? And this is not, this, you know, there probably is a biblical principle on this. I'm not prepared to give you the verses. But I will tell you that one person in the marriage should control the money. One person. Okay? Not two. One. Okay? It just works better that way. Okay? Now, if you want me to preach that one of these days and pull scripture out, pray that God will give me the scripture, all right? Okay? But can two walk together except what? Except they be agreed. And if you got two people writing checks all over the place and all of a sudden the bank account don't agree with the check account, and something ain't right. But anyway, back to the message. Okay? It would probably be a good idea for us to stop and think and spend some time with God and say, God, if I'm wrong, would you show me that I'm wrong? And if I'm wrong, I'll repent. And God's not, listen, God's not so angry at you that he does not, he said, come now, let us reason together. God wants to sit down. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he wanted Jesus to reason with him. He's just, you know, Lord, tell me about this. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus just asked him a simple question. How is it? I don't understand. Jesus didn't say, you idiot, how come you don't understand me? He very calmly said, Nicodemus, let me tell you what being born again is all about. And began to discuss that with him. And that's where we get the famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is willing to reason with us if we are willing to do what? Listen. So I want to tell you, in fact, I could tell you this. I know this for a fact out of all that I've been preaching since 1991. I can tell you that in almost the 20 years that I've been preaching as a pastor in a church, I will tell you that I can say things that are right according to the scripture and it will probably make you mad. Or God can say things to you according to the scripture, and if your heart's right, you'll say, God, you're right. God, you're right. I also know and realize I've been here how long? How long have I been preaching here? What, 96? Was that about 14 years, something like that? Okay. That sometimes the repetitive nature of what I have to say can probably get on somebody's nerves. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike. Yeah, that's how it is. Listen, I recognize that. I recognize that. That does not take away from the truthfulness of what God wants to tell you. And what God wants to tell you today is that you are wrong in your life. I don't know what area you in life that you are wrong, but I can tell you that if you're sitting here, you have just admitted by your presence. It's kind of like when you go to AA meeting, you're a drunk. Amen? If you go to an AA meeting, you're a drunk. When you come to church, it's because you're a sinner. Makes sense, doesn't it? So wouldn't it be a good idea? Because let me say this, and I'm going to have an altar call. Okay? Y'all know what an altar call is for? It's when the altar's calling you. Come on down. And I still believe in altar calls. Not changing my mind on that one. Okay? And I will tell you that there are things that I know is wrong. First of all, with here. But secondly, with you. But I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let God say it this morning. But in order for God to say it, you've got to ask. You believe that's the word of God. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so if you're serious about this, if you are seriously wanting to go to heaven, I'm dead serious about that one. Then what I don't want is unconfessed sin in my life holding me back. And I will say that even though right now we may be ignorant of things that we have done, wherein God wants to reveal them to us, we may be ignorant. Just as in American law, ignorance of the law is not a defense. If you're speeding down the highway or you're speeding down a street here in town and you're going 50 in a 35 and you say, well, I didn't see the sign, the cops doesn't go, oh, I'm sorry, you can go. You have to pay the fine anyway. And when you go stand before God, just because you didn't bother to find out what the law was doesn't mean God didn't already know and write it down. But it would be a good idea for us to spend some time with God this morning, asking Him, God, undoubtedly there are areas of my life that are not in accordance with Your Word. God, show them to me, and I'll repent, because I want to go to heaven when I die. Okay? That's what I want.